You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back to the 750. I am O.R. Ochoa. He's the 7-5-time Super Bowl champion, college football Hall of Famer, Oklahoma Sooner legend. Very happy. I bet, or was very happy, at least for his weekend. Tony Casillas. Tony, happy Monday to you, sir.
Well, happy Monday to you, and it was a great weekend. It was, as you just alluded to, it was a Red River showdown this over the weekend, and you know, my team took care of business. I actually played some defense, which just made me really happy. 9 sacks, and you know, they came up on one of the offensive linemen for the Texas Longhorn, calling out the defensive line that they had to worry about him. Well, obviously, they didn't worry about him because they had 9 sacks. So that was the good news. The bad news is what happened on Sunday. Totally different, 180 degree turn as far as one high to an extremely low, and that would be the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, you know, typically we like to kind of chop it up a little bit when we start. Like, how you doing? You know, what was your weekend like? What'd you eat for dinner last night? I baked some ribs and they came out as good as I thought they would. But, dude, there's nowhere to start but, you know, this catastrophe. We had a tweet. I don't know if you saw this. A lot of people took an opportunity to dunk on it. We had a tweet from the BTB account. Because we were getting a lot of stuff like throughout the week, like, oh, I bet the Cowboys lose the Jets. And so we had a tweet that said, like, look, people are getting way too concerned with the Jets. The Cowboys should win easily. It would take an utter catastrophe for them to lose. So welcome to the catastrophe. I mean, that's, you know, I think we look dumb, not you necessarily, but I think we all, just anyone who hyped this team up the first 3 weeks probably feels a little dumb. If I don't like to throw this word around a lot, but a lot of people are calling them frauds after that performance, and it's hard to disagree.
First of all, I know there's a lot of people in the water right now because they've already jumped ships. So I think there's going to be a lot of rafts that we need to throw out there and rescue some people. And rightly so. Again, it was... I don't know. I look at Jason Garrett. He's been there for a decade now. And I look at his win losses and I'm trying to see how this one ranks as far as, you know, losing the whole narrative was the Jets or 0-4. We know how bad their offense was, but I guess we forgot to mention they didn't have Sam Darnold for most of the time. He had him for one game, but he's playing through mononucleosis. And then on top of that, again, this, it was a back-to-back, just atrocious performance. And when you go on the road and you play the Jets, and after you just got your asses handed to you the week before at home, and then you go and you have that type of performance, I think it's like one of the top, at least the top 4 or 5 losses Jason Garrett's team ever had.
Yeah.
But I think maybe the players were reading that tweet because they backed it up. But yeah, it was again one of those weird games where it just seemed like everything was going wrong. I mean, we had drop balls. We had, you know, our offensive line was overmatched. Our defense, I don't know what happened to our defense. I mean, this was a defense last year that was raising hell, and this year was supposed to be better. But, I mean, they've taken the year off so far. I mean, especially the last, two games. So I just don't know what. I mean, you just kind of put a – look out for one single thing in a game, but everything in that game went totally wrong. It's a repeat performance, but again, it was against an 0-4 Jets team.
Right. No, and the reality is we made a lot of fun of the Jets and said, oh, it's the Jets, whatever. You're right. I mean, Sam Darnold being their quarterback makes a huge difference versus, you know, it being Luke Falk. I mean, just in a lot of ways. But I want to start with you. You're right. I mean, this is – when I think of worst losses in the Jason Garrett era, From an impact standpoint, I think people would throw out the Week 17 games in 2011, 12, and 13. You know, winning in, and he lost all three to all three different division rivals. That was tough. It's hard to pick any loss from 2015 just because they didn't have Tony Romo. I mean, I think people were willing to give him a pass because, you know, you don't have your quarterback. It's hard to win in the NFL.
Right.
In 2016, they lost on the road against the Giants, a game that snapped their 11-game win streak, amazingly, in this same building. And that was rough. But in 2017, I think the game in Atlanta really sticks out. I mean, that was really, really, really bad. I mean, the week after against Philly was bad. The week after that against the Chargers on Thanksgiving. I think last season's loss against the Tennessee Titans on Monday Night Football was a pretty low. But I mean, all of those things were bad, and they were bad losses. But this might be the worst team that he's ever had a bad loss to. You know, because at the end of the day, I mean, those Titans ended up being a scrappy sort of team last year. You know what I mean? The Falcons in 2017 won a playoff game. And they were coming off the Super Bowl loss. I mean, to lose to the world, Tony, dunks on Adam Gase and the Jets, and they suck and they're terrible and whatever. And I mean, they just had their way with the Cowboys. I want to tell you something. And again, they just got Sam Darnold back. That changes it. Did you know that the Jets had two offensive touchdowns, like total, like entering the game? They had two total offensive touchdowns. They had four against the Cowboys.
There's a lot of stats that they just, they got better in a lot of different categories, and they hadn't had they didn't do it yesterday, but in the last 28 games, hadn't had a scoring drive in the first quarter, hadn't scored a touchdown, but they made up for that in the first half. The problem is, and some of me wants to defend Jason Garrett just a little bit, but I'm not going to be an apologist for what went on yesterday with some of those, whether it's Dak. I mean, I think Dak, again, I mean, he did about as good as he could. I mean, yeah, there were some moments, but no one helped Dak out yesterday whatsoever.
Right. And
I know they're out with their two offensive line, but I think at times it wasn't that bad. I mean, obviously we knew that Greg Williams, the bounty hunter, was just going to bring it all day long. I mean, that's his bravado. He's going to throw everything at you and really just try to live on your line, side of the line of scrimmage. And I got to tell you this, RJ, he got after Kellen Moore's offense. And,
he did.
And, you know, I know the play call and everything else that you tried to manufacture, but, you know, they knew that was coming. So, yes, I mean, there's a lot of things that we can point at, but just the emotional aspect of it, not really being prepared. And I just know as a player, if you go on the road and there's some things going on, you know, something, not doubt, but you're just not playing. You're just not feeling it, and the energy's not there. And then all of a sudden, you play a team like the Jets who, you know, come back. And, you know, look, I mean, they're 0-4. No one expected them to win that game. I mean, they were talking about all the people were still in the parking lot during kickoff. So, and there was a lot of Dallas Cowboy fans. But that's the thing about going on the road and playing a team like that. The only way that you diffuse any or, you know, opportunities, that they're going to have opportunities all day or in the game, is that you have to diffuse that. And the Cowboys from the beginning of the game didn't do that. And here's the thing about it. Yesterday, this really made me mad. I'm doing this appearance at the State Fair. And we're there, you know, and they had the broadcast on, right? And so it was on a delayed broadcast where it was probably about a minute later on the feed. And some guy comes up and he's looking at his phone and goes, man, I got really bad news. And I said, what are you talking about? Well, the Cowboys 21-3. And at that time, it was 14-3. And I think when they got 21, that was that 92-yard bomb, okay?
Right.
So everything come unhinged yesterday. And look, I mean, there are so many things that you can look at this game. But ultimately, I mean, the head coach has got to shoulder a lot of this blame, because if your team is not ready to play on the road, and again, we can defend and we can look at other well, they weren't healthy. Well, the Jets, they had guys that weren't available,
right.
You know? And so they just didn't play up to the expectation that all of a sudden we uphold them to. They did not play to that level.
I agree with you entirely. And I agree. And if you're listening, relax, because we're going to, I think, I guess just relax when I first say this. I agree with you that I don't think it's totally fair to just like kill Jason Garrett. Like, oh God. I mean, because, you know, there are extenuating circumstances involved. However, at the end of the day, I mean, this has to fall on him. However fair or unfair, that's the job.
Like,
that's,
oh, absolutely. That's the gig. Without a doubt.
And you're right. I mean, no Tyron Smith, no Lyle Collins, no Randall Cobb. Amari Cooper leaves really early. Those things suck, and I get it. But a lot of other coaches deal with situations that suck, and that's been a criticism of Jason Garrett for a long time. I mean, and so I believe that you have to find ways to win in those circumstances, regardless of who you're playing. Like, and I said this, you know, initially after the game, if they had been playing the New England Patriots, it would still be true that he had to find a way to win in spite of the injured players. But the fact that it was against, I mean, the Jets, just, you know what I mean? Like if ever there was a circumstance built for you to be able to overcome adversity, you know, this would seemingly be it. I mean, it's a new low. And have you seen, I don't want to make too much of this, but have you seen the clip of the players walking off after the Sam Ficken field goal at the end and ignoring him?
Yeah. You talking about at the very, at halftime or the second half?
No, the second half after the last Jets field goal. So they make the field goal, puts them up by 8 points, and hope is obviously very slim at that point. And you can see Joe Thomas and Malik Collins, and they're walking off the field after the Jets make the field goal. And Jason Garrett's out there, like, just, you know, rah-rah, keeping his team motivated, and he's looking for high fives. You know, and I don't mean high, like, he's not got his hands, like, literally in the air. They're just, like, off, you know, low fives, sort of. And they just walk past him and just ignore
him. Well, you know, they just got their butts scored on. And, again, the defense didn't play worth a darn. Right. So if you're going to shoulder some blame, let's look at the play call. Let's look at Chris Richard and Rod Marinelli. Let's look at how bad they played in the back end. I mean, I think at one time, Sam Darnold was like 9 of 11 for 119 yards. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, you get beat on a bomb. That's the second longest touchdown pass ever given up in franchise history. 92 yards. It's a play action.
It's also the second longest touchdown play in Jets history.
In Jets history, that's what it is. I think. Well, regardless, it was horrible.
Oh yeah, I mean, Sam,
you know,
Darnold,
you backed up, you got him back. You know, would they have the ball right there at the, what was that, the 5-yard line, 10-yard line? I mean, drop back 7-8 yard drop.
Right.
So the point is that, you know, what those guys were doing, they got their asses kicked all day and they were dejected. I mean, what are you going to do at that point? There was nothing going on. And so I'm not going to just look at that and like, oh, yeah, Jason Garrett's losing his players. I mean, that's the way I would feel. I mean, what do you do? It's like you're playing against a team like the Jets who had gave up 10 sacks last weekend to the Eagles. And for all accounts, the only guy I saw rushing the passer was Robert Quinn. Right. Had 2 sacks. But other than that, I didn't see anything else happening. I mean, there was a lot of blame. So, you know, while we want to look at the offense, now offense, I mean, how many drop balls? I mean, it seemed like everybody was dropping the ball. It had like had silicone on it because no one could catch the damn thing. It was like 4 or 5 drop balls, it seemed like, during the game.
Yeah, not a great game for Michael Gallup.
Jason Witten drops
the
ball.
Respect.
I mean, everyone was dropping balls. And there was no room for Zeke to run because they were dialing up those run blitzes. And so that's the only way he's going to really – and they took advantage of that. They knew that they can win the point of attack on the perimeter because, yeah, they didn't have Tyron Smith or they didn't have Leo Collins. So they didn't want to take advantage of the perimeter. So, you know, now some of the things that I thought, well, why do you keep running it up the middle? We do some, like, play action or try to make soften things a little bit. But they kept feeding it to Zeke. I mean, he had that one touchdown which was, you know, for a touchdown. But even Zeke dropped a ball. So it was very contagious yesterday.
I'll say Zeke, I think, had a good game. This was a game where Zeke had to be the entire offense, and we just found out, like, that's impossible. You know what I mean? Like, there's really only right now in the NFL one running back that can do that, and that's Christian McCaffrey, and that just – it didn't happen for Zeke. I mean, Christian's going to get paid in the offseason. I mean, that is what it is. I thought that Dak – I mean, I thought that Dak did everything he could, and you know, people are still going to criticize him. He was not the problem against this team. I mean, you said it a little while ago. Offensively, this team has issues, but the issue is starting slow. I mean, and not that that's a good problem to have, but they still find ways to ultimately score.
Well, they got to play from behind,
right? But that's why I think the primary problem, like if I was, you know, sort of prioritizing them, it's the defense. Dude, they were down 21-3 to the Jets. And you said his name. Chris Richard has been hyped up and hyped up and hyped up, and people love to see him yelling and cussing on the sidelines. That secondary is so bad. I mean, it's really bad right now. I mean, Chidobe Awuzie is really struggling. It's you know, man, it's hard to find anything that's good on the defense besides Robert Quinn. Robert Quinn is a diamond in the rough right now. Even where's DeMarcus Lawrence? I don't think he's, you know, a lot of people are really trashing this guy. I don't think he sucks or anything, but DeMarcus Lawrence needs to do more. I mean, that's the reality. When you get paid, you need to do more.
Yeah, I think everyone needs to do their job, and that's what they pay you to do. And you can say, oh, the Cowboys again, they're missing this guy and that guy. Last year they missed Travis Frederick, and they went on and win 8 games. All right.
Right. Right.
So, and that dude right there is a big piece of their offensive line. So it can be done. Now, you're either gonna have to adjust, you're gonna have to do some things to, you know, compensate for that, or you know, wherever the weak link is, you're gonna have to do something to account for it. And there's ways you can do that. But again, the defense. I just, how many times did you see guys, receivers behind defensive backs yesterday?
Yep.
I mean, all game long, you know, it was just remarkable that every time you looked up, okay, there's a completion, Aaron Donald to, you know, 10 yards to Anderson, or, you know, whoever the, you know, was catching the ball. I mean, it seemed like to me, again, there was a series of plays where they were non-stoppable. I mean, they could not defend the pass.
I want to read you this stat. I know there are a lot of stats, but check this one out. This is unbelievable. Okay, so since 1991, all right, that's, you know, a long time ago. Since 1991, when any NFL team wins time of possession, which the Cowboys won, has more total yards, which the Cowboys did, wins the turnover battle, which the Cowboys did, picks up at least 25 first downs, which the Cowboys did, and converts at least 10 or more third down attempts, which the Cowboys did. When all of those things happen since 1991, that has happened 91 times for an NFL team. Teams are 90-1 in those games. The one loss is the Cowboys to the Jets. That's unbelievable.
It is. How do you find a way to lose a game like that?
That's what it is. It's finding a way to lose.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't finish it. And look, they got help from the Jets the last drive. They had 5 penalties.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. Look, I don't know if you're tired like me of all these penalties in the NFL game.
Oh,
and I'm glad
sure.
It was against the Jets. But the Jets gave them every opportunity to win, to tie that game. Now, in that last play, in that 2-point conversion, even an onside kick. I mean, that was a great onside kick. It ricocheted off the Jets player.
Demaryius,
but there was
Thomas,
no one there to clean it up to recover it. But the Jets did everything they could, and you just read all the stats. I mean, gave them every, you know, that win in every category, and yet they still couldn't close the deal. But the last, again, the last drive, I mean, what was there, 5 penalties, 4 penalties, like 3 pass interference penalties? I mean, it's just crazy. And still, the Cowboys, they found a way to score. But you just knew. I mean, maybe it's just me, and maybe it's just my experience as a player, and maybe it's just a fan or lack of confidence. But don't you get this feeling like, God, there's something missing. They're not going to win. They're going to find a way to lose. And I hate to feel like that. But I felt like that. I didn't really – I guess a little bit against the Saints because I thought they would win, but you know that's a, you know, it could go either way. And then the Green Bay Packers, I felt the same way. I'm like, they're doing everything they need to do to get their ass kicked, and they did. In this game, I'm thinking, yeah, maybe they'll come back, but just there wasn't enough a sign of life to really sell me that they're going to actually be able to come back. And I felt like that yesterday. Even as bad as the Jets were, and as I mentioned, them trying to, you know, penalize and being undisciplined football, I just didn't feel like they had enough fire under their ass, enough fire in their eyes to close the deal. And that's sad. I mean, I just feel that way about this team right now.
I mean, look, so I wanted to save this, but I think it makes sense now. On
after that Sports Radio
right. Well, on Sports Radio 94 WIP, which is a big radio station in Philadelphia, and right. One of the biggest radio stations in the country, sports radio stations. So Doug Peterson is on there on the good days after Eagles games, like Jason Garrett's on 105.3 after Cowboys games. And so on Monday morning, Doug Peterson, and I already wrote about this, but as you and I are talking right now, it's not out at blogontheboys.com, but it will be when people listen. That's the magic of podcasting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway, so Doug Peterson said this: I know the sky is falling outside. It's falling, and I get that, and the fans are real. We're going down to Dallas. Our guys are going to be ready to play, and we're going to win that football game. And when we do, we're in first place in the NFC East. That type of, let me just drop my stuff on the table, you know what I mean? That, to your point, that's nowhere near the Cowboys right now. You know what I mean? Like, and for all we know, Doug Peterson's Eagles get their ass kicked. I mean, maybe, right? I mean, it's possible. But I love that, honestly. I love that. And because to me, and I read some context about this earlier, it's not him saying, like, we're going to go down and beat the Cowboys. Like, he's speaking confidently. You know what I mean? He's speaking from a point of, hey, like, that's what we got to do. We got to go down, and we're going to win that game. We're going to be in first place, and let's go. And I love that. And right now, I don't see any of that sort of attitude from the Cowboys.
Well, it's how you bounce back. It's how you respond. And if you respond the way Dallas did yesterday, you know, and I get it, it's on the road, and every, you know, they're flip-flopping every one game. You know, 1 week they're at home, they go on the road, and vice versa. But your coach is your voice, mm-hmm. And I think your coach is a voice of confidence, a voice of believing in his team, and everything that goes along with that. And I think the players, they play for Jason, but there's just something, a disconnect there when you look at the forensic emotion and just the mistakes that they make, and just they're reverting back. I don't know if the guys are out of place, or I don't know what their reads are on defense. I don't know if they're not getting enough pass rush to help those dudes out. But it's not there. It's not working right now. And the best way to get rid of that, and I said this last week, is to get a bounce back game, and that's to play the Jets. And really just believe that, look, we're going to, you know, we believe in each other. We're going to not make mistakes. We're going to catch footballs. We're going to block. I mean, that's the thing with Greg. And you know, Greg Williams does this every year. I mean, he is the dude that dials up blitzes. He will screw up every type of blocking, a scheme that you have, because that's what he does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just, you know, we didn't have enough firepower. And even if we, you know, when Dak got the ball out and guys dropped it, we could not converse. And the baddest thing, the hardest thing to do against that team, RJ, is getting third and long, because guess what? They're bringing it. And you get outnumbered, and you don't have an outlet, you don't have something to check down. That's when all of a sudden the doubt reaches it. And all of a sudden it's like, dude, we cannot. This is a train. We can't stop them. And I saw something yesterday that I really thought, man, this team's in trouble. I saw Zach Martin get beat really bad. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't happen a whole lot. I mean, they were playing against some road graders inside. I'll give them credit, because we talked about, we previewed the game last week, that they had some guys inside that can play. But everyone was getting beat across the board. It wasn't Cam Flynn, and it wasn't Knight, the offensive tackle replacing Lyle Collins. It was everybody across the board.
I agree with you that, you know, the worst thing that you can happen is, you know, or I guess what I would say is, I think the worst thing that can happen against Greg Williams is that you can make yourself predictable, because that's what happens. I mean, on third and long, you're predictable. And Greg Williams is somebody that's going to prey on that. I mean, that's
man to man coverage. And we're going to lock down on the blitz, man. We're going to outnumber you in the box.
The 2-point conversion was just ugly. I mean, I don't know what that was.
I don't know about you, but I called that. I knew that's hell, they're common. I mean, they don't care. I mean, you know, and that was a great play to dial up right up the middle.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to disagree with that. But Greg Williams, look, the facts are the Cowboys got their asses handed to them, you know, by, you know, the Jets. You know what I mean? Like, they got their asses handed to them by the Jets. And Greg Williams and Adam Gase and Sam Darnold, and that's a really embarrassing thing. You said it, that and people do have. I would like you, as someone that's been there, to explain this, because people have a hard time understanding what you said in the Cowboys' play for Jason Garrett. And during the game, I mean, I was getting into all sort of Twitter fights and talking about how, look, there's a lot of flaws to Jason Garrett, but one thing that he unquestionably is a leader of men. Can you explain how that is the case, even though he is struggling right now as a football coach?
You know, I think that he's saying everything to his players. I think that there's a point in time when whenever you lose a team, your players, and all of a sudden you lose three in a row, and then it's like, well, what are you going to do to bounce back? What are you going to do to stop the bleeding? And now if they lose to the Eagles, in which they could, then all of a sudden there becomes this doubt. And then some of the things that they're trying to do against them, I don't know. It may not be Jason Garrett. It may be Chris Richard, maybe Rod Marinelli on defense. Maybe they're losing the connection with their players. Maybe their philosophies, they're not buying in. Technique wise, I mean, what are they, you know, what type of errors are they making? I mean, why are guys getting behind them so much? And you know, you look at, you know, up front, I mean, there's a lot of variables that go into this, but inevitably it goes back to the guy, and that's the head coach. He is a scapegoat, right?
Sure.
So I think that we saw this last year, and I hate to go back to last year. It's kind of what Dak said last year. Everybody's like, well, yeah, that's last year. We're dealing with this year. We got great character in this locker room. Believe in the guys. I mean, you heard his press conference, okay? I mean, he's going to say exactly what he needs to say.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at last year, when they went on that run, they got Amari Cooper. Everybody's like, oh, wow, Jason Garrett's a hell of a coach because they started winning. So that's the thing, the sign of life. That's the sign of life, the connection with your players and your coach, if you start to win. Because a lot of things start to happen. The worst thing about it right now, yeah, they're 500. But going to work today and having to be in that building and, you know, sit there and stare at each other, that mood's not good. There's some tight sphincters in that locker room. And I hate to use that reference. There's a lot. They're uptight.
I mean, right.
And so now it's like, okay, well, we can't just let this thing get out of control. You know, guys can't start pointing fingers and pointing at the offense pointing at the defense. That's a sign to me. I haven't seen that. Because when you've seen teams in the past, you see some infighting. You see guys like, you know, kind of self-destructing and, you know, blame it on the offense and defense. I haven't seen that. So to me, that's the sign that I look for when a coach still has control of guys, because, you know, right now they're 3-3. Everyone's, yeah, it's frustrating, but you know, you haven't really seen any that much frustration. Now I would be frustrated. I'd be calling guys out. I mean, I wouldn't shake hands with the head coach. I'd be pissed off at myself,
right?
Because I am the culprit. I mean, I am the one that's out there trying to make plays. I'm the one that's getting the rolled by a team like the New York Jets, that the acronym going in this game was for the Jets was just end the season. So that's the purpose. That's the problem. And that's the sign. But right now, again, people, you know, like, we hate Jason Garrett. But as far as losing the team, I'm going to defend it that he still has it. Now, do you make a change during the regular season if Jason Garrett, if he loses the Eagles? Probably not, because, you know, if you're frustrated, you make decisions like that. What are you going to do? Now, if they go on and lose the Eagles, they got the bye week, and then they play the Patriots.
They play the Giants first, and then so they go on bye, then they're at the Giants, then they get the Vikings at home, then they're at Detroit, then at New England.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a long way. Well, I was going to use that as an example. So let's say hypothetically, if they played the Eagles, they wanted a bye, and they had the Patriots the next week, and they essentially lost 5 games in a row. Now maybe, you know, you look at that. But now there's some swiggle room there. There may be some games that may, like, okay, I can't change a coach, you know, coach now. But at that point, if that was a scenario, you know, I don't know if they would probably be out of the playoff picture. I mean, it's getting nit-gritting time now.
I agree with you that there's obviously a lot of dissension and inward, you know, feelings, and people are uncomfortable and things like that. Like, I totally get that. And I think that you know, unfortunately, we have a lot of experience in terms of seeing that with the Cowboys, and they typically have responded well to that, to your point, last season. Jerry Jones is typically the point of confidence, right? Like, we know that about him. He's always Mr. Bright, sunny.
By the way, happy birthday, Jerry, yesterday. What a nice birthday.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously. But so my point with that is, you know, on his birthday, which, you know, you can have the fun you want with it or whatever. But Jerry met with the media after, like he does every game afterwards. And he, you know, again, typically he's the guy, oh, we're going to be okay, or everything's going to be fine. He said, ultimately, if you're one of the really top teams, which we're not, we are not. I hope that someday this season we could be one of the top teams. We're certainly not tonight. That is a point of, you know, just giving up that, you know, we haven't really seen from him. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want to get out of, you know, out of hand and say this time feels different or whatever, but it does. This does feel like a little bit of a lower low than we've seen in a while. And so maybe because it is this low, it rattled them a little bit more than like the loss of the Titans last year. But this feels like a pretty low moment for the whole organization.
Well, maybe Jerry Jones at the ripe age of 77 is becoming a realist. And realist and what his team's done against the last three teams. And look, I think that's how he's kind of deflecting everything, because it is very frustrating. And the fact that they are still 3-3, and if they're tied for the lead in the NFC East with the Eagles. So, I mean, they have a matchup Sunday night, big-time game. So they win that game, they get back where they need to be. And then, you know, everything is better. Momentum's better, the mood's better, and everything else is better. But that's the point where he needs to get to. But yeah, I think it's totally different, because he has to really, he's got to support his team. And right. that's the thing about, if you're a very, I guess, you know, you're a very, you know, this outgoing owner that is the face of the franchise, is you know, someone is available, because it's unique, because in what other organization the owner talks as much as Jerry? He's the only one. So that's the thing he has to give. He has to send his team a vote of confidence. And that's the thing that he does really well sometimes, because all of a sudden you hear this, you know, this rhetoric from Jerry Jones being negative. And now for me, I would call my players out. Like, you know, look, I just signed Zeke Elliott to $100 million deal. I just signed $100 million deal to DeMarcus Lawrence.
You know, yeah, where's quarterback.
Jalen Smith. I mean, let's go. I mean, those guys, you need to start balling. I paid you guys. I took care of you. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, and to that point, you know, and again, Jason Garrett deserves to be sort of the front man for this failure. But I mean, Jason Garrett's not, you know, not getting beat by Robbie Anderson. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, to Jason Garrett's credit, if you want to call out that, and I know nobody wants to today, I mean, he has helped assemble a really good football team that is just not living up to expectation. And so, and a lot of that falls on his plate. We will preview this Cowboys-Eagles game that already has trash talk flowing. But what are your final thoughts? Wrap this game up for me, Tony, in as pretty of a package as you can.
My final thoughts has been, the last, I guess, 2 weeks have been dreadful. This week is kind of an all-time low. But as you mentioned earlier, the sky's not falling. So Doug Peterson said, I mean, I got beat by the Vikings yesterday. So, I mean, you know, this is a game that hopefully you just got to – you got to rebound. And, you know, we talked about the Packers – about that's a game that you got to get up for. And we weren't up for that game. Now you lose two straight. You got to get up and go on the road and beat the Jets, a team that's 0-4. And they didn't do that. Now this is a time where you just got to reflect, and you got to go back to work. You got to rectify your mistakes and everything else. And again, this is a low. This is a humbling experience with those dudes right now. And that's the only way they can overcome this, is to play better, clean up the mistakes. And, you know, guys got to make plays. I mean, you know, if you want to save your coach, or, you know, your coach is not, you know, won't last the whole season, then this is what you need to do. I mean, this is a game that you definitely get everything back, because everybody will start forgetting about the three losses in a row. But you have four, man. I mean, I hate to use this. Yes. I hate to say this, because use so much of the cliche. It's not desperation. Yeah, I mean, this is a desperate win. I mean, this is a must win. You lose four in a row. I mean, I just know what happens in a locker room like that. I mean, this is one of those wins. There's a little disparity going on right now.
If they lose four in a row, I mean,
dude. I mean, they've done it before. They did it last year. So.
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, it will.
But they didn't lose. I mean, the Jets. I mean, come on. It's like that's almost as bad as losing to the Dolphins.
Right. And so.
Dolphins. I mean, I'll give the Jets more credit than that.
Right. I mean, but it would be the loss. You know, it would be the problem is,
RJ, is the expectations that this team had going in the season, and then everyone, what they did to three really bad teams. We all started, drinking the Kool-Aid and believing how great this team is. And then now it's like, look, I mean, they're not that good right now.
I agree with that. I'll say, I mean, if they lose to the Eagles, that has the potential to like break the franchise. And I don't mean like the Dallas Cowboys cease to exist, but that could be, you know,
dagger.
Yeah. I don't know that the Cowboys would fire Jason Garrett, you know, at 3-4 and they would be on a bye. And so people will come out and say, hey, if you're going to do it on the bye week. So you have, you know, that much time to prepare, whatever.
Look what happened on the bye week last year.
That's true. but so
look at that change they made with Amari Cooper.
Maybe. While I don't think that would happen. I mean, this team is, you know, this is like classic boxer, you know, coming into the ring and all the trainers are saying, dude, no, you know, you got to tap out. And the guy's saying, no, you know what I mean? Like the weak boxer who's just destroyed at this point. And if the fact that it could be the Eagles that would deliver this punch, I mean, makes it kind of feel knockout punchy. You know what I mean? Like, because if they lost a fourth game in a row to, I don't know, the Bengals or whatever, you know, it wouldn't sting as much. It would suck, don't get me wrong. But the fact that it would be – this game, Tony, is on Sunday night football. I mean, we're going to have – it is the biggest Sunday night game of the year so far. It's going to destroy ratings. I mean, it is going to be, I mean, just an insane amount of pressure on this team. And so this is, I mean, I don't think this is hyperbole. This is the biggest game of the Jason Garrett era. It's going to push him in one direction. I don't think this will make a determination by any means, but it will push him drastically in one direction, whether that's a long-term contract or ultimately having the Cowboys move on from him.
Definitely agree, my man.
Well, we will be back later this week to talk about this some more. Hopefully by then somebody has found a way to go back in time and help the Cowboys beat the Jets, because this reality is not so fun. But Tony, I'm glad your Sooners won. That was the shining moment from the weekend. Oh, and the Houston Astros tied up.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So good for them.
Go Astros.
Everybody enjoy the beginnings to your week. Everything's going to be okay. We promise. We'll see you later this week. This was the 750.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.
Claude 3 from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point of the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skill and speed, And Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who use Anthropic to navigate this new frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, today. Jumpstart your genius with Claude 3 by Anthropic.